Don't Be That Girl, where we discuss engaging topics related to relationships and dating in our community. This platform is built and designed to get us, men and women, talking to each other and not at each other. To keep the conversation going in your cities and in your living rooms across the nation. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Mahogany Moore, relationship strategist to women looking to date the man that they desire and not that they one that they're currently attracting. So our topic today, hot topic, what men want. This one is fun because we took it from behind the studio, straight live in the city. Let's get into it. So on March 28th, 2024, we actually did exactly what is in our mission statement right here at Don't Be That Girl podcast, where we wanted to be able to have conversations in a living room style environment where we're talking to each other and not at each other. And we actually had the opportunity to accomplish that for the first time. The topic was what men want. So we're writing our first book. Yes, really excited about that. And the book will more than likely have the same title of What Men Want. The book, however, of course, is for women. And like I explained to the man in person, was that while I may have done much research, studies, experience, case studies, at the end of the day, for two reasons, it's twofold. Speaking to women and have validity, it is much more impactful if the comments come directly from the men. And two, it's just validity. It just brings any level of your ability to speak to a subject when you may have done some research, you may have some experience, but when you are able to now bring forth and have not only the surveys to back it up, but also to have just the forum, right? And the place where men feel comfortable to share their real core thoughts and feelings. And while much of what was said was affirming of what we already were aware of, some of it was eye-opening and lessons learned. So I look forward in this four-part series to get into it. We went over just four questions, so I'll break down what it looked like. The four questions that we had, or the setup for our forums, is where it's mainly focused on men, usually in a setting where our men feel comfortable. In this case, it was in a cigar lounge, right? The cigar lounge, from my understanding, is going to be, would be more like your current barbershop feel, where it's the man cave. They feel comfortable. They feel it's a safe space to say whatever, however, and to vent, to talk, to kick it. Okay. We let ladies in, right? Ladies go to cigar lounges anyway, but here it was a little bit of a twist. For the four questions that were asked to the men only, the ladies had to only listen, not comment, not give commentary, and most importantly, what was important to me was also not to grunt or make any sounds that gave the appearance of judgment, because if I learned anything over the past decade is men feel that we judge them on a regular basis. I will be honest, we probably do, but we judge everything. I think it's just by nature. So we have to consciously not do it. I will say some of the comments from the ladies on the back end was that they thoroughly enjoyed it and that it was very, very hard for them to keep quiet. So I will also say that in reference to this, I want to thank the 20 men for their candor. I want to thank them for their transparency. I want to thank them for just sharing their space and their time and their vulnerability with me and with the ladies. It meant so much because what we identified, and as we go through this series, because the whole point right here, right, we started with women, right, in that women want to know What do men want? They want to know, how do I attract the man that I want? And while part of that has to do with the female, it also has to do with her understanding men. And the one thing that is true is that men and women are extremely different. They're polar opposites, hence the gender difference, but it's not just gender. And I think that these forums and live session and these podcast series where we will discuss this and actually do further interviews will show that there is a difference between how a man thinks, how a woman thinks, and therefore we can say the same exact sentence or look at the same exact portrait and draw two completely different conclusions. So what does that mean in a relationship? That means that not only is communication key, but I think we have to take it a step further. What I hope to eventually get to by the end of series four is that it's not just communication, but how we communicate and understanding the true definitions of the different words that we're using, because those words can mean different things to different people based off of their life experiences, where they have been, and their gender. And sometimes that may be the real crux of why we may not be seeing eye to eye. Let's get into it. Question number one was, what makes women unapproachable? I started with this question, not the reverse of it, of why do what makes women approachable. I did the reverse because I find sometimes I'll share something and women will be like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I look. It doesn't matter what I wear. He needs to accept me the way I am. And I was so happy to hear some of these answers from the men because the answers were almost unanimous. And here's the thing, ladies, you don't have to like it, but then you need to accept the consequences of what that looks like. So let's look at some of these responses. Okay. The question was, what is it that makes a woman unapproachable? So the first thing that came up was what's called an RBF. I think we all know what the RBF stands for. Now, in the RBF, basically what they were trying to convey, right, is the resting face. Was that sometimes we can just look like we don't want to be bothered. But then the question came up, well, then why are you outside? You know, why are you here? That was one of the comments said, why would a person go outside when they know 9 times out of 10 they're going to be approached? Another one was, they said that being unapproachable is if you don't look happy, even though they know everyone may have a bad day. So what does that look like? This one was interesting. If they're wearing high-end clothes like Gucci or Louis Vuitton, the question may be, what's she bringing to the table? And they may not be down for high maintenance. That one, I've heard it before. I think seeing it though, or I think actually hearing it from a guy was different for me. And it was interesting. It was interesting. And I would imagine it's not a little bit, but it's like when they're dripping in it, right? And then another one made the comment was that even if they're wearing it, whether it's real or fake, right? Even if it's from Canal Street, it still says that this is where I want to go. So in other words, do you look like maybe that you're materialistic and that those are the only things that are really important to you? There was some others that had to do with posture. Not only was it about your smiling, your arms folded, or we got into the whole thing about women appearing that they just don't want to be bothered. women appearing that they have preconceived expectations of the type of man they want to approach them. And then if anyone else comes and speaks to them, they will shoot them down. I have seen this, and I probably have been guilty of this in my younger years, definitely in my 20s and in my 30s. So I definitely could understand how these answers came about. The space that we were in the cigar lounge with the men, one of the questions the man brought up was, one of the men, the participants, was, is this a safe space? Another one asks, how candid can I be? And I almost got to a place where I felt bad. Like, what have we done as Black women, right? What have we done so bad to our Black men that you have to ask questions like, is it safe? Can I be candid? Another asks, will I be judged? And I understand that we say these things sometimes in humor and in jest. But the feeling in the room, because we allowed them to speak candidly and with no judgment and without interrupting them, was that even the times I'll admit, walking or moving up to the date, getting up to the date, it seemed like this was their opportunity and their time to speak. As if we have not given our men the time and the space and the platform to say how we make them feel. And for me, that's very, very personal. So I'll say why I find it personal. It's many things. But one thing, I don't know if any of us really, really pay attention to, but in the corporate world, we don't see a lot of African-American men, right, in positions of leadership, white collar. If you look statistically, you would assume that it has to do with, well, it's because education-wise, they're not getting the same degrees. They're not this, that, and the other. But it's actually not just that. It's not. If you have, or if you are part of the corporate world, there is a code switching we have to do, all of us, woman or man. If we are of any culture, there we still have to acclimate ourselves to talk a certain way, to have a certain cadence to our breathing, to not gesture as much, to not have too much expression on our face, and therefore blend in. If a man, however, is tall, or if his skin is too dark, or if he appears to be extremely what they may appear intimidating, then they have the choice between hiring a man or a woman or a Black man or a Black woman with the same qualifications. It's a high possibility that the woman will seem less, or will say easier, perhaps, for them to work with. I say all that to say it's not easy for the Black man outside. It's not. When I became an adult, and I finished school and I got my first or second corporate job, and I go back to my dad. My dad's in pharmaceutical sales. He worked on Manhattan. And, you know, I thought he was a superman. I thought he was a superstar, superman. He knew everything and he could fix anything. But when I became an adult, my dad told me that sometimes on his way home from work, he would pull the car over before he got home and he would just cry. And he would get the cry out and he'd pull himself together and he'd come home and he'd deal with the rest of all that he had to deal with at home. I heard him and I never forgot that. Our men, when they leave our homes and they go outside to work, they are hitting war. I don't care if it's white collar, blue collar, got a job, ain't got a job, labor ready, whatever. The world that we live in right now is not made for our Black men. And it is evident from these answers, and also if we spend any time observing ourselves, any type of introspection, are we really supporting our Black men? And before you answer that question, let's think about other races. Think about Caucasians. Think about Asians. Think about Latino culture. The dynamics are not the same. You don't see infighting. There are many more two-parent households. Even when it comes to, well, not the Caucasians, but the other immigrants, right? When immigrants come together, they will live together. They support one another. There's much more unity. Now, of course, don't get me started. We know why we lack unity. It's not our fault. This is something that was ingrained in us centuries ago, before we even got here. But just because it was ingrained, and just because it may be something from intergenerational trauma, does that mean that we can't fix it? So before we go back outside, next time you go to that bar, next time you go to that restaurant, whether you're by yourself or with your girlfriends, do we think about those things? If a man comes to approach me at the grocery store, is he trying to holler just because he's trying to get some? Or can I just view him as him being my black brother and treat him like a human? Because at the end of the day, that's what we are. That's who all of us are. And give him grace. Even if he is a little inappropriate, you can check a person, but in a kind manner, without having to shut them all the way down. There is a bit of quiet power with a real feminine manner. When you've tapped into your femininity and people approach you, usually you're able to regulate how they approach you. But if things are external, and like one of the comments had to do with how they're dressing as far as having too much makeup on or the clothes are too tight. It looked like a person is trying to get it, having a free drink, a drink on the house or a drink from a man when they clearly probably can't afford it themselves. They don't want to approach that. So, you know, I always try to leave with a lesson. For this one, for us ladies, I think the lesson is for us to know whether we want to accept it or not. We always know that men are carnal. But past that, things need to be aesthetically pleasing to them. And not aesthetic as in just physical, but they can feel our aura as well. And so if you tend to have RBF, or if you tend to be out in public and keep your arms folded because it's comfortable, right? You don't want to be approached, very fine. But if you're in a position and you don't mind having conversation, you don't mind perhaps sharing some time with someone else, consider your posture. Consider your facial expression. Another comment was also how we treat waitstaff, how they're talking to their girlfriends at the table. Ooh, also cursing, which they said it was a double standard, but how they speak. So you're being observed from a distance. And if men see that as a quality in you, then you may be met with the same type of quality, approach, if I may say. Yeah. I am positive this podcast does no justice at all. What Magic went through, all of us, the day that we sat there and the day that all of us had the opportunity to hear what our black brothers had to say to us. And then in turn, after the first hour, the four questions went on, then the ladies had the opportunity to speak as well. But again, the beauty is that it's a start. And if we're always continually looking to say, hey, this happens and that happens, if we want to point the blame at others but not look at ourselves, then we're never, ever going to make progress. So the most important lesson out of this one, the question of what makes a woman unapproachable, men really do look at you, your aesthetics. They really do look at your aura, how you handle and how you carry yourself, and how you position yourself and your posture is how they're going to approach you. And it also could be what they're going to approach you for as well. But we'll save that for another podcast for another day. Well, what are your thoughts? I love to hear from my listeners as usual. You know where to find us on IG at mahogany_more. The post is already out there, so feel free, go ahead and drop your comments. We will definitely be coming back around and talking about the second question, which I think is even more juicier than this one. I shouldn't say juicier, but the next question on absolutely talking about what makes us safe for you, or why do you not feel safe with the Black woman? Now that topic got a lot of us talking. So tell a friend, tell a family member about us this week, and let's keep the conversation going. Until then.